We are in Nun Aleph Amid Beis, and we are listing the Mandi Amrim that give Maimer a certain clout, a complete clout, different levels. We had Rabbi Gamliel, who did it rabbinically, and said, hey, Maimer, Acha Maimer. We had Beit Shammai, who did it biblically, and said that Maimer works biblically. We had Rabbi Shimon, who held like Rabbi Gamliel, but was Mesupik, whether Maimer helps or not. But if it helped, it helped completely. That's what Rabbi Shimon said. And now we move on to the next Mandi Amar, who was listed by Rabbi Yochanan, and that is Ben Azai. Now, we didn't have Ben Azai yet. We will have Ben Azai later in the Perek, I believe. Yes, the Gemara will bring a Raisa, I believe, from Ben Azai. I believe the Gemara will bring Ben Azai, or maybe it won't. I'm not sure. I didn't prepare that far ahead. But we have Ben Azai now. The Tanya. Ben Azai Yomer. Now, there's two Girsas in Rashi. The Girsa we have is the one Rashi likes better. It's identical but totally different, as we will see, the two Girsas. Rashi likes the first one better. What Ben Azai does, he says, I agree to Rabbi Gamliel and I agree to the Rabbanan. With one Yavama and two men, if Reuben dies and leaves over Rachel and two brothers, Shimon and Levi, and Shimon makes Maimer and Levi makes Maimer, then I hold like Rabbanan, that the both Maimers are effective. But if Reuben dies and leaves two wives, Rachel and Leah, and only one brother, and he does a Maimer to Rachel and a Maimer to Leah, there's no room for two Maimers, because each man got the power of Maimer, but he only gets the power of Maimer once. So in a certain sense, Ben Azai is in agreement, the Maimer is a complete thing. When each brother gets the power of Maimer, unlike Rabbi Gamliel, who gave the power of Maimer one time per household, right? Ben Azai differentiates. He gives it to each brother, but any brother only has it one time. Because when he uses it once, there's no room for a second one. That's one girsa. That's the girsa we have. Rashi brings in other girsa, as we will see. Ben Azai Yomer. Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer Bishnei Yavamim V'Yavama Achas. There is a Maimer after Maimer when there are two men and one Yavama. But Ben Maimer Acha Maimer Bishnei Yavamim V'Yavama Achas. But if Reuben dies and leaves one brother, Shimon, and two wives, Rachel and Leah, there, you can only use Maimer once. So we see this concept that sometimes Maimer is only, it does, it's complete. The same concept. Again, these Mandi Amrim don't agree to each other, but they both approach that Maimer is not partial. It does a complete thing. Shimon gets a complete Maimer, Levi gets a complete Maimer. One time, does complete thing. Rashi. Hagi Gersinan. Rashi is the last narrow line. Yes, Maimer Acha Maimer B'Shnei Yavamim V'Yavam Achas. The Chol Chad V'Chad Kinu Le Rabbanah Maimer Ba. Each one, the Rabbanah made a takana that every man has the power of Maimer in the Yavama. But the Ein Maimer Acha Maimer B'Shnei Yavam Z'Yav Mechad. The Chol Koyach Shetiknu Chacham B'Maimer. The whole power that the Rabbanah gave to Maimer Kana B'Maimer Rishon. The man only gets one Maimer, and once he does his one Maimer, he's used up his power of Maimer. Lashem Maimi. That's the way my Rebbe was Gairus. Lishna Achrina Hachi Gersina. There is another Gersa, the exact opposite. That each woman has the right to one Maimer, but two brothers don't get the right to each Maimer. The exact opposite. Meaning if Reuben dies and leaves two wives and one brother, then he can do two Maimers. But if he leaves one wife and two brothers, there's only room for one Maimer per woman. Not one Maimer per man, like the other Gersa, but one Maimer per woman. Hachi Gersina. Ein Maimer Acha Maimer B'Shnei Yavamim V'Yavam Achas. The Dumi the Kedushin Ba'alma, Tzkinu Rabbanah L'Maimer. It's similar to Kedushin. You can't do two Kedushins to one woman, right? If a lady is single, not a Yavama, and Shimon goes and gives her Kedushin, and then Levi gives her Kedushin, it doesn't work. You can only have one Kedushin. Same thing here, by Yavama. If Reuben dies and leaves two brothers and one wife, and Shimon gives her Maimer, Levi can't give her Maimer. There's no second Kedushin. Whatever Maimer accomplished, it's over and done with. However, there's two women. Each woman can have Kedushin. The Chokhaz of Akkad is like Kayach Yavamim. The Loi Kayach Bia Yavir Rabbanah LeMaimer LeMikni LeGamri. They didn't give it the power of Bia, that it's totally kaina, but like paka zika the chaverta, and it doesn't remove the zika of the other one, the biyu the patra, only biya patras. Right? So therefore, when there's two wives, there's room for maimer in both. The lashon rishon ikur, the lakama mukhchem also beperkin. Actually, the first girsa I think is right, because later on in the perik, when manazah will be quoted, you make the first girsa will fit, and the second girsa won't fit. We will see when we get there. But at this point, there's two girsois. Again, Rashi likes the first one better, that the Rabbanon gave each man a power of maimer.
What do they have to do with the
to? I'm sorry? I lost you.
What is the din by Benazai? The two gifts.
There's two gifts of Benazai.
One has to give a get.
Oh, what would happen? Each one would have to give a get, and one would have to give chalitza, getting involved in whether yes zika, ain zika, whether chalitza psula works, and we're not going to go there all the time. We went through that already.
Right, but and if there would be two Yavamim and two Yavamim and one, each one gives on a mimer, is there also a problem? Each one
gives. No, well, each girsa would hold that works. Each girsa would hold two men to two women would work. First girsa says each man has the power of mimer. The second girsa says each woman has the power of gets mimer. See, either way, it works. Two men to two women, both girsas would agree would work.
They can't continue and get married because it's.
Yeah, for sure they can't get married. Exactly. Right. And now we come to the last name on the list. And over here, we're going to have a contradiction in Rashi. And the Rambam points out that this is Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rabbi Nechemya, not the way we understood Rabbi Nechemya earlier, or the way Rabbi Nechemya will be understood later. If you remember, Rabbi Nechemya said that after a Biya Psula, nothing works. The case in our Mishnah was a guy did get and then Bia. So the Tanakhama said, and after there were three women. He did get to Rachel, Bia to Leah, and a Maimer to Shprinza. So the Tanakhama said, since it's a Bia Psula, right, it didn't effectively remove Zika rabbinically, even though Bia works, it's only biblically it's 100% Ibum. He has to divorce his wife and get a rabbinic chalitza. That's what we said has to happen according to the Tanakhama. Because a Biya Psula does not remove Zika rabbinically. That's what the Tanakhama said. Reb Nechemya responded and said, no, once you did Biya, nothing works after Biya. And Rashi explained in the Mishnah that if he wants to get rid of Leah, we weren't sure whether he has to get rid of Leah or he wants to get rid of Leah. He gave a get to Rachel and then he did Biya to Leah. If he gets rid of Leah, whether he has to or not, we weren't sure. He gives a get to Leah and it's over. The Zika is gone. He did Bia. He did biblical Bia. The Zika is gone. There's no room for Maimer afterwards. There's no room for anything. There's no need for Chalitza. He took care of his business. That's how we explained it in the Mishnah. Reb Nechemya holds, Bia Psula, potters everything. Now again, if he did Maimer to Rachel and a Bia to Leah, he still has to give a get to Rachel. That's prior to the Bia. Right? Does he have to divorce Leah? We weren't sure whether we make him divorce Leah or not. But even if we did, all we do is make him give a get. And everything he does to Shprinz afterwards is nothing, and no need for Chalitza. That's how we explained Reb Nechemya in the Mishnah. That's how the... What? He doesn't have to do Chalitza to anybody. He did be into Leah. He did Yibum. He did biblical Yibum. And Reb Nechemya holds that even though it's a Biya Psula, it removes everything. That's how we explained Reb Nechemya in the Mishnah. He argues in the Tanakhama.
No gzeira to make
there. He did not make any gzeira. He didn't make those gzeiras. Tanakhama said, since it was a Biya Psula, we don't let it remove the Zika, and therefore afterwards, if he does Maimer, it will work to Shprinza. And not only that, but we make him divorce Leah, and we make him give Chalitza, because there's still a rabbinic Zika left. So, the way we explained it in the Mishnah, Reb Nechemya and the Tanakhama were arguing on 2 points. Number one, is there anything that helps the Shprinza? You did get or Maimer to Rachel, and then Bia to Leah, and then anything to Shprinza, does it work? Tanakhama said yes. Reb Nechemya said no. Second, the Machloikis was, you need a Chalitza. We weren't sure about get. But even if you say by Reb Nechemya, you have to divorce her. But there's no need for Chalitza. Whereas, according to the Tanakh Rama, there's a rabbinic zika that has to be removed. That's how we explain this. That's how the Gemara later will understand it as well.
Is he able to marry her?
No, he did Biatalea. Doesn't make a difference. He did Yibum biblically.
So all that meant was, he did Mime or Shprinza. I'm just saying, right, Shprinza, she's going to need again.
Correct. Well, it could not according to Tanakh. You need to go into the Tanakh. You're talking about Tanakh. Right. Now, that's the understanding that we had in the Mishnah, as which Rashi explained it, and the way the Gemara later will understand it. Rabbi Yochanan understands Rabbi Nechemya differently. He understands that Rabbi Nechemya is saying, you need chalitza. He agrees to the Rabbanon, there's still a rabbinic zika that has to be removed. The only argument between Rabbi Nechemya and the Tanakh Kama is, does anything work for Shprinza? That means, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Nechemya, you do Maimer to Rachel, or get to Rachel, and then a Bia to Leia, and then something to Shprinza. What you do to Shprinza doesn't work. Because you used up your power of Bia Psula, uses up whatever power is left. But the Zika is still there rabbinically. You would have to divorce Leia and give somebody Chalitza. That's different than the way we understood Rabbi Nechemya, that you don't need chalitza.
You have to divorce her.
What? We weren't sure, Rabbi Nechemya and our Mishnah, whether you have to divorce her or not. So that part might not be different. That he needs chalitza. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Nechemya, differently than the way we understood it in the Mishnah and the way the Gemara's understand it later. That's how the Ramban explains this. Zok to Gemara. Rabbi Nechemya Ditnan. Rabbi Nechemya Aymer. Achas bila v'achas chalitza, bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein b'soif, ein acharel klum. Now, but bia psula, the k'maimer shav yorabon. Bia psula is like maimer. Now, not exactly, because biblically it works, but the rabbanon said it doesn't take off zika. And it said, and nothing can be done afterwards. Uksani ein acharel klum. Now, this is different than all the other man yamrim. Because Nechemya doesn't say you can't have maimer after maimer. He's saying bia psula, which doesn't work rabbinically, cuts off the ability to have mimer afterwards. So bia psula does the entire thing. It's similar to mimer doing the entire thing, but it's different than everybody else. Because everybody else said mimer cuts off something. Yeah. Rabbi Nechemya said, let me just finish. Rabbi Nechemya said bia psula cuts it off. And bia psula is like mimer, it doesn't remove the zika. So we see that Rabbi Nechemya empowered some sort of mimer, not all mimers, that it does all, and there's no room for anything else. Whereas Rabbanan would say you have to be Bsula, mimer works. Rabbi Nechemya says no. Bsula is a type of mimer. The truth is it's much more than mimer because it worked biblically, but it's like mimer because Rabbanan still requires chalitza, according to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Rabbi Nechemya still requires chalitza, but it's like mimer, but it doesn't allow anything to work afterwards. Do you see the power of a certain type of mimer? It is not really mimer, it's a bia. But it's similar, what? Different. Reb Shimon said in mimer, if it works, the next mimer doesn't work. Here it's only bia psula. Reb Shimon said in mimer worked, the second mimer doesn't work. That was a bia's cut and it's like a mimer. Yeah, but that's because biblically it's nothing. Here biblically it was a bia. You're right. It's a similar thing, except there, it was a bias cotton, which according to most Rishayim, which is the way we're learning now, is biblically zero. Rashi. Zok Rashi. But bia psula k'maimer shav yirabonon. Here, look at the Rashi. V'enaf k'mei beget, get is not enough. The k'boi nami chalitza l'zikasai. Now Rashi, the Mishnah, said you don't need chalitza. And here Rashi said you do need chalitza. So Rambam points out that this is Rabbi Yochanan's way of understanding of Nechemya. But there's the Gemara, stomach the Gemara later on, and the way Rashi explained in the Mishnah, understood Rabbi Nechemya that Bia Psula removes the Zika in its entirety. There's no Shaychus to Mimer, and therefore would not be listed in this list of Mandiyam.
Yeah, but so what's the point of the 100% effective? To what point is that? What point is 100% effective to what?
I don't know, you're going...
We're going now.
In Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation?
Yeah.
That the Bia Psula, which is not enough to remove Zika,
right,
bans anything working afterwards.
Yeah, but it's not 100% effective. Haraya, you have to still give...
But it blocks any other mimer. It blocks any other continuation. It did its entirety that can be done through rabbinic acts. Okay, now we're going back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah started off, Ein bi ein get achaget, ein mai marachamaymer, and the Chum said, yes, get achaget, yes, mai marachamaymer. Then the Mishnah said, ketzad. And the ketzad had zero to do with the case before. We brought the machlokes, then we said, ketzad, and we talk about one yavam to one yavama who did multiple things. Has nothing to do with get achaget, nothing to do with mai marachamaymer. In fact, the Gemara, hi get achagetu? Is this ketzad explaining get achaget? Usually, ketzad goes back to what we said before. We just brought a machlokes with his get achaget, and he would say, ketzad, what is the case of get achaget? He doesn't do that. The ketzad starts a whole new different discussion. We pointed that out in the Mishnah as well. So, I'm review the get achaget to my machimayim kedamara. Meaning, as was explained in the Brisa. The Mishnah doesn't want to explain that. The Mishnah brings it and says, figure it out. You need help? There'll be a Brisa that will explain it to you. Ketzad Amarim Gamliel, we had it over here. Right? The Mishnah didn't bother explaining it. Kedamaran, figure it out. Now we're starting a new thing. Yab Mechad Vivam Achas. Ketzad Mitzvah Saturasan. How does it work to remove everything? What happens if multiple things happen? Between one man and one woman, which is the beginning of the Mishnah. I mean, the first case, the first sequence in the Mishnah. The answer is, right? First, the Mishnah discussed one man and one woman. Then it discussed one man and two women. And then it discussed, at the end, two men and one woman. Right? It was three sequences in our Mishnah. First one was one and one. So what the Gemara is answering is basically that this ketzad is not meant to explain. It's as if the Mishnah brought the halacha of get achaget, my marcha, my mitzvah, they figured it out. And then the Mishnah said, by the way, how does it even work when people do multiple things? It's a whole new discussion. So basically the Gemara's answer is that here the Mishnah did not explain the first case. It said, figure it out. Now, kedamaran isn't a brisa, but the Mishnah didn't say, see brisa, right? The Mishnah meant, figure it out. You need help. There'll be a brisa that'll help you. Rashi. Hi, get achaget bitmiya. B'chizel get achaget, the tani reish of chum, yesh get achaget, and the farsh ketzat. Is this explaining the rabbanon's yesh get achaget? Us the maimer died to get achamaimer. Kedamaran b'brisa l'el ketzat amur gambiya. U'b'lasisim l'perish, the Mishnah didn't explain it. Period. And then the Mishnah goes through the sequence. Right? Get maimer first, get first, bia first, chalitza first, and moves on. Next case. Us the maimer u'bol, harzuka mitzvasa. The Mishnah said, if you made a maimer and then you lived with the one yavama, one man to one woman, Reuven died, left one wife and one brother. Shimon went and did maimer and then lived with her. So the Mishnah, he did the perfect thing. Harizuka mitzvasa. What? That's what the Mishnah said. He did the right thing. So the Gemara, what does it mean he did the right thing? Does that mean this is the necessity that anybody that does Yibam should do a maimer first? The Mishnah makes it sound, this is the mitzvah. That means if a person comes to Bezin, he knocks on Bezin's door and says, Bezin, I have a Yavama. I would like to do Yibum. Bezin would tell him, first do Mimer. When the Mishnah said, Harizik mitzvasa, is the Mishnah telling me a new halacha? We haven't had yet in this Masechta. That when a person does Yibum, he should do the rabbinic Mimer before he does the biblical Yibum. Is that what the Mishnah is teaching us? That's the Gemara Lema Messiah Lema Ravuna. Damer Ravuna, Mitzvah Yavama Mekadesh Vachkach Vayov. Ravuna said, that's how you should do it. The person should not go to Bia right away. He should first do Mimer. That means part of Mimer was, that wasn't why they instituted Mimer, but once Mimer is there, that's the avenue to go. They instituted Mimer because of Xera. But once they made Mimer, they said, listen, you want to do Yibum? Do it first with a mimer, then with a bia. That's what Rav Huna said, right? And that's what our Mishnah sounds like, because our Mishnah says, Harezek mitzvasa. And for the Gemara, Ema, Avzek mitzvasa. The Mishnah doesn't mean to say, this is the only way you should do it. You can skip mimer. You can go straight to bia. You'll get no problem in Shemayim. It's fine. The Mishnah is saying, this is also allowed. You could do mimer first. Now, why would I think you can't do mimer first? Because Salkadai to Pshita. Let me finish. I would think by doing Mimer, you're not doing Yibum. It's like you're using a different avenue, right? Instead of doing Yibum, you're marrying her. Maybe the Torah doesn't want, maybe the Rabbanon don't want you to do Mimer. Mimer is like saying, I'm not doing Yibum, I'm going a different avenue. Maybe they want you to go straight to Bia. That's the mitzvah of Yibum and Atayra. Kamashon on the Mishnah, no. That Mimer doesn't preclude, does not in any way block your mitzvah of Yibum. You're doing it 100% correct. Sa'agadai t'chamina, kivin di amar mar, hayo v'amar amar mar. Aitza Mimer b'yavem to parcha emenu zikas yivamim, v'chol ala zikas erivs in nesuim. We had Beis Shammai, who said that Mimer took away Yibum and made him like an arusa and nesua. We had a whole sugya in the third parak. Maybe that's not the right way to go. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai, but maybe Mimer is not doing it the right way. Kamash Malon, that this is also the right way. No raya, this is the only way, the better way. It's a okay way. There's two ways to do it. Meaning from our Mishnah, you can't prove Rav Huna right. Rav Huna said it. Rav Huna said we want Mimer first and then Yibum. Can you prove him right from our Mishnah? No. Maybe the Mishnah is teaching me it doesn't bother us if you do Mimer first. Not that you should do Mimer first. Rashi. Hayol Dama Mimer Perek Dalet Achim. Yes. Oh, he's advising. He says once the Rabbanan instituted Mimer, this is what we want done. The Gemara is going to explain why in a minute.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question here? I'm just a little confused. Forget about Mimer. If there was no Mimer, what is the standard mechanism to perform Yibum? What's the standard order? If this is an alternative, what would be done without Mimer?
Before the Rabbanon came along and made Mimer, in the good old days, supposedly, when there was no Mimer, the way a person did Yibum is he would tell to Adam, I'm going to do Yibum, I'm going into the house with my Yavama, and I will do Yibum, and the two house people would walk them into, watch them walk into the house, and they would live together, and they would be accomplishing Yibum, and the Adam that saw them walk into the room would be the Adam of the Yibum.
So it was just kind of a, that was kind of a preliminary to the Bia, and it was...
No, there was no Mimer in those days. Before the Rabbanan instituted Mimer, a Yibum was done by a person going to his sister-in-law and saying, I want to be Miyabim you. Can you come to my house tonight at 10 o'clock? And she came at 10 o'clock. Two Adam watched her walk in. They locked the door, and then they lived together, and then they were married. And the Adam that saw her walk into the room would testify that Yibum was done. Even though they really don't know if it happened, the assumption is if she's privately in the room for him and he said he was going to do Yibum, he lived with her.
And the Mimer was the more civil way of kind of replicating the process.
Then they instituted Mimer because of Gzeira that we had last week. They were afraid that people would think Mimer doesn't work, so Bia doesn't work. So they went, they said Mimer works rabbinically. Once they instituted Mimer, Rav Huna said this is the more civil way of doing it. Correct. Once it was there in place, Rav Huna came along and said, that's the way Chazal wants you to do it. They don't want you to go right away to live with her. They want to go, they don't want to go from 0 to 100. They want to go and build it up. That was Rav Huna's thing. But that was once the Rabbanon instituted Mimer. Now, the question is our Mishnah a proof to Rav Huna? Or can our Mishnah hold that you can do it either of the two ways? You can go with Mimer and then Bia, or you can go straight to Bia. So we're answering that our Mishnah does not prove Rav Huna. The Mishnah is saying that you shouldn't think Mimer is a detriment. It's not. You can do Mimer and then Bia, or you can do Bia straight. From our Mishnah. Rav Huna happens to say that once there is an institution of Mimer, that's the way we want you to go. That's not why they made Mimer. But once they instituted it, that's our preference way to go. We'd like you to build up a relationship rather than go from 0 to 100.
Do I remember that Mimer existed independently of all of Yavamas? It was a different kind of way of doing Kiddushin before that, or did it exist because of...
Biblically speaking, if you don't hold like Beis Shammai, Mimer didn't exist. There was no point in Mimer. Reuven died, he left over a wife, Shimon had a choice, Yibum or Chalitza. No get worked, no Mimer worked, nothing worked. Only thing that worked was he lived with her or he got Chalitza. Those were the only two options. Came along to Rabbanon because of Gzeiros and said, if you do a mimer, you're bound to her somewhat. It works somewhat, enough so that you now have to remove that mimer. Or if you have two wives, by doing a mimer to one, you don't let yourself do yibum to the other, all rabbinically. Or a get. If you give a get to your yevama, no longer you're allowed to do yibum. These were all rabbinic takanas because of Gzeira. They made
no,
that
I understand
up
that.
Gzeira. It didn't exist biblically. Biblically, that was not an option. Then, once they made this takana, comes along Rav Huna and says, once that option exists rabbinically, we want you to use it because we'd like to build a relationship rather than go from 0 to 100, which is what the Torah said to do. But Rav Huna said, once it exists, that's the avenue we would like you to go with.
So I was actually asking, maybe you answered it, but I was actually asking whether the actual institution of Mimer or the practice of Mimer existed completely independently of Yibum, whether it was something that just occurred in a regular marriage, no sisters, no second wives, nothing, no brothers, one single guy, one single lady. Was Mimer in existence as opposed to Kedushin? Was that something?
Kedushin and Mimer are synonymous.
Okay.
It's the same act, except Kedushin is when the woman is not bound to you as a sister-in-law, as Yibum, then yeah. You do Kedushin. And yeah. Yevama didn't have any Kedushin, because she's bound to you biblically to do either Yibum or Chalitza, came along to Rabbanon and said, you do a Kedushin is effective rabbinically. Not biblically, but has some rabbinic effect. Mimer and Kedushin are the same act. You give the lady money, and you say, Arat Mukadeshesli. To a regular woman, this is marriage. To a Yavama, this is rabbinic, because biblically, there's no such thing as marrying your Yavama. You only can marry her by living with her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Want to marry her?
Ready? Ready?
Yibum or marriage?
Marriage.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Let's see the next Gemara. Let's see. Talk to Gemara Gufa. Amar Avuna, Mitzvah Yevama Mekadesh Rachachbo. The mitzvah we want you to do is first do this rabbinic kedushin and then live with her. Rachachbo. Vimbo v'asamay mekana. Now, if you did Bia first and then did Mimer, it worked. Correct the Gemara. Vimbo v'asamay mepshita d'akan yebibia. He did Bia. That worked biblically. What do you mean did Mimer? Elaimer Vimbo b'loy Mimer kana. I mean, Rav Huna agrees that if you did Bia without Mimer, the Rabbanon didn't say it didn't work. They just said, we'd like you to do Mimer first. Yibum, 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 Yibum. Mitzvah Yevamim. Frekta Gemara Batanya Loika. The Brisa says if you do Bia without Mimer, we give you Malkus. That sounds like you did in Aveira. The way we just explained it, it's preferable Mimer than Yibum. But if you do Yibum without Mimer, it's okay. And the Brisa says you get Malkus. Zakti Gemara Malkus Mardis Midrabanon. This is not a biblical Malkus. This is a rabbinic Malkus for somebody who does things that we think are inappropriate.
He actually gives Malkus?
The Rav Mangin, Rav used to give Malkus to the following people. Manda Mekadesh Vabia. A guy who decided he wants to marry a woman, Avraham Cohn's question. He wants to marry a woman, and instead of doing Kedushin with money or with a shtar, he decides he wants to do Kedushin with Bia. Again, so this guy is doing Kedushin with Bia. Biblically, that's one of the three ways to do Kedushin. Rav said, it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate.
He has to speak out that he's being
Kedushin. Yeah, he goes into a room with her. He tells the Eidim, I'm going to do Kedushin. And he locks the door.
I'm sorry, that's
okay, can I finish? Right. Uman de Mekadesh Beshuka. Rav used to give Malkus to somebody who made Kedushin in a public place. Kedushin is a private area. You make a chuppah, you invite people. You don't go middle of a marketplace and walk over to a woman and say, you want to marry me? Harat Mekudeshesli. Rav felt that was inappropriate, and he gave Malkus Midrabanan.
Even in a cat game?
Uman de Mekadesh beloy shiduchi. And somebody who's Mekadesh without being engaged. Rav felt you should be engaged to the lady first. You build a relationship. You just don't walk over to a lady and say, you want to get married? Harat Mekudeshesli. He gave Malkus. He felt that was inappropriate.
Yeah,
Okay, let's catch up with Rashi because there's a whole list that Rob did. So we'll just stop now. Rashi. Zok Rashi. Like they Malchus are born with a different Torah. Malchus isn't a biblical Israel. I'm a Deraisi. They come and how do you say it works? So Mashani Hai like a lot Malchus are born with. Elamachus Mardus. Malchus redoing with the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon beat him. Shinoa Kalis Roish Biatzmai. He acted inappropriately. Once there is a mimer and you go ahead and skip it, once the Rabbanon put it into place as a means of building a relationship, that's not why they put it into place, but it's there, and you skip it, it's inappropriate. And therefore, Uloilam Kara. The Rav Mangad Makas Maris Amanda Makadish Babiyam Shim Pitsusa. Rav felt making Kedushim with Bia is a pretzis. That's not how you acquire a woman. You build relationships. Vamanda Makadish Vashuka, Philip Kasva, the Minig Zilus of pretzis. He felt to do Kedushim in a Cavs game. You should say a Browns game. I don't know why you picked the Cavs game.
No, he's saying because now it's COVID. No one's there.
Okay, it's a pretzis. Okay. What did you mean?
A person marry a lady and skip Kedushin.
How does that mean? What does he do?
Go under the chuppah.
Without a Kedushin?
Yeah.
You can't marry. There is a man, the Amar in Kedushin. That's... Hey, that says that chuppah can work as kedushin.
Yes.
Who's the man the Amar? Rufuna.
See, Rabbi, you embarrass me now.
He's good.
No, but Rabbi, why? What is the purpose? So the purpose of kedushin is let's first.
The Torah.
Rabbi, let's understand. When's the last time there was a chuppah here in Cleveland? I don't know, but the time that I do remember, they gave the Kedushin, and about 3 seconds later, after they gave the title of the next one who's due to, that's like a real, let's get to know each other first for about a minute.
Well, that's why you need Shidduchi first. They do get engaged.
What's the purpose of Kedushin, is the question.
The Torah said, forget Rav. Before Rav came along, the Torah said there's a two-step process in marriage, Kedushin and Chuppah. Once upon a time, they were done at separate times. Later on, they moved them together for whatever reason. But once upon a time, there was Kedushin, and up to a year later, was Chuppah. That's what they used to do once upon a time. Today, they don't do that. They do Kedushin under the Chuppah. Now, you're right. Today, Kedushin and Chuppah are pretty much 3 minutes apart from each other, and then they go have yichud, and then the marriage is complete 100%. So you're right. It is a very slow, it's not working the way
used to.
But on the other hand, Rav also said shiduchi, and that we do. So there is a build-up of relationship. It doesn't go from 0 to 100.
Why? So just explain.
You want to know why did they change it?
Not why they changed it. I'm trying to say this. I'm doing the MS. I'm not saying I agree with. What I'm saying is that what is the purpose of Kedushin?
The Torah said it has to work that way.
Why?
Because the Torah said first you acquire one level and then you acquire a second level. So different. That's how the Torah made it. By the way, the Torah, according to the Torah, you didn't have to do it at 2 separate times. You can do it a minute apart from each other, like we do it today. The Torah wanted a 2-step process. You acquire her with Kesef, Shtar, or Bia to become your Arusa, but she's not your wife yet. She is an Ashes Ish, but not Mutter to you yet as a husband and wife. Then you will bring her into your Rishus, which is Chuppah, and that completes the marriage. The Torah instituted. So you want to know why did the Torah make a 2-step process? I don't know.
With Bia.
Right.
So what do you do? What can you do better than that?
Well, there's all kinds of halachas. Your obligations to your wife, her obligations to you. Marriage is more than just living together. Marriage is a relationship.
The Rebbe's trying to say to me that if a person does kedushin with Bia, the chuppah.
Merit Hashem, one day we will learn Kedushin. Halavai, Halavai, and Rabbi Hashem should give us Kleif to then. Right? On Daf Yura and Aleph and Kedushin.
This is going to make everyone feel bad.
On Daf Yura, Yud Aleph, I think it's Yud. The Gemara has a Shaila, if you do Kedushin for Bia, can you do Kedushin in the Suwan with the same act? And skip Chuppah. That's the Gemara Shaila. Be a Eris and Isa, or be a Nesu and Isa? Is be a way to do both in one act, or does it need another act afterwards? That's a Sugya and Kedushin, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. So it is a Sugya. You're asking a very good question. Why did the Torah make a two-step process? I don't know. But the Torah didn't make the two-step process. And the Gemara Daf Yud and Kedushin wants to know, if you do Kedushe Bia, are you doing both simultaneously?
One other question for this minute is, where in the Torah does it speak about Kukum?
That's a very good question. That's a very, very good question. That we had in Ksubas. We had that in Ksubas that the Gemara brought a drush of, that she has to come into his Rishus. The Gemara at Erison, then bring her into your Rishus. That's what the Torah calls Chuppah. Chuppah means bringing her into your Rishus.
Is that why some people, and I don't like it, but some people, they walk ahead, the Chassid walks down the stairs to bring her to the
Chuppah? That comes because it's Pasik Chassid Hayayitzi Yikris Kala.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? That's brought down as to do, that the chassan walks 3 steps towards the kala.
If I was an aide where some people actually hold the hand of the kala...
And the way out. Maksidim. Maksidim.
I would puzzle the whole thing.
Maksidim do it.
No.
Yeah, 100%. The chassan holds the kala's hand out of the chuppah.
No.
I held my wife's hand out of the chuppah.
Oh, remember. Really?
Yeah.
I can't go past.
By my brother's chasana, the Sklena Rebbe, not the one that was just nifted 2 years ago, but his father told him, my brother, Nem the Hunt, take her hand.
The Sklena was here?
His father.
His father? When did your brother get married?
In 1972.
Oh. Remember the Sklena was here? You know where he stayed, Rebbe?
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I was involved.
No, where he stayed?
Okay. I mean, well, right
there. It was Kel.
Well, yes.
How did Rob decide that that's not appropriate?
Yeah, now that's a big problem to me always. You know, Rob, the tyrant said it's okay, came along Rob and said it's inappropriate. The way I see it is that Rob looked around at the people in his generation and said, the tyrant said it's okay, but look at the way people are doing this. This is not good. That's what I think happened. Rob reacted to what he felt was a pretzis. Meaning, he saw the way it was being used and he didn't like it. Again, that's my speculation. The Gemara never explains why he did that. Rashi says, Mishim Pritzusa, but the Torah allowed it. So you from it in the Torah? I think what happened was, Rob looked around and he saw that people in his generation were not really doing it with the same Kedusha and L'Shem Shemayim that was intended, and it was an act of pretzis, and he felt that's why he started giving rabbinic malchus for it. That's my speculation.
And the Taras has said something that the Torah Masid never asked. How
was
that?
He didn't ask for it.
He just gave malchus.
He just gave malchus for it.
He asked it.
That's true. I mean, it's a good question. I don't have an answer.
Is there a bracha for Mimer? Sure, if you show him the place that all
right. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I don't know anybody that did Mimer. We don't do Yibum anymore. So how can we do Mimer?
Mimer.
So I don't know. Tzvartim do Yibum. I don't know what they do before. And Mimer, not Mimer. I honestly don't know this halacha. They don't do Yibum anymore, by the way. Once upon a time, till recently, they did Yibum. I think they don't do it anymore. Right. Maybe there is a problem. There's nothing wrong if there is. I mean, why not? Yeah. It's 100%. Rashi. We did Rashi. Now, Rashi, Rav, the Gemara has a list of things he gave Malkus for.
Yeah.
The next thing is, Manda Mavatul Gita. Halacha is a person can write a get to his wife and send it, and then decide that he doesn't want the get to work. Meanwhile, that woman will receive a get, and she's really not divorced, because her husband was Mavatul the get. Now, there's all kinds of solutions the Gemara in Gittin, in the fourth parak, deals with. But the bottom line is, it messes people up big time. So Rav said, if you do it, I'll give you Malkus. Don't be Mavato again. You don't want to divorce your wife, don't divorce your wife. But you write her a get and send it to her. Don't change your mind on the way.
But I would have said something else. I would say, you can't Mavato it.
So that's what Gemara deals with in the fourth parak of Gittin. Das? Right. Uman the Mekadesh.
So, Rebbe, every time I
didn't say I know the daf. I asked you if you know the daf.
Well, You said third parent.
Fourth parent, yeah.
I would say probably Lama Zion.
No, I think it's Lama Gimel. I think it's Lama Gimel. Uman the Master Medoagita. Master Medoagita means he tells the Ada before he writes the get, I don't mean what I'm doing. So what are you doing? What are you playing around with? Just playing around with nefashas. You're writing a get to your wife. You told the Adam you don't mean it. The get is worthless. So what are you doing it for? It's time to make her crazy? And she might think she's divorced and she's not divorced? Uman de pokir shluch drabanan. And one who mistreats a shliach bezin. Bezin sends a shliach and this guy screams at him. Get out of here. Who do you think you are? It's a shliach bezin. Rav gave Malkus.
What?
For being mechutzedik to Shliach Bezin. The Bezin sent the Shliach to invite a guy to did Tyra.
Oh, okay.
Or to do something. And the guy walks in and says, I am a Shliach Bezin to do A, B, and C. And the guy says, get out of here right now or I'll beat you up if you don't move. That's Tokir Shlucha Drabonim. Uman Deshoi Shamta Drabonim Alei Tlesin Yom Beliosel Lebedin Nevatav Hashamta. Drabonim put him in Cherem, Bezin put him in Cherem. And the guy stayed in Cherem 30 days and he didn't come to Bezin to ask him to remove the Cherem. He didn't do tshuva. He keeps the Cherem on him. So Rav said, I'll give him Malkus also. The next one. V'achasna d'dor b'chamuhu. A son-in-law who lives by his in-laws. We don't like son-in-laws and mothers-in-laws. We're afraid that they might have too close of a relationship and it might lead to inappropriate behavior. And therefore, we don't want sons-in-law living by their mother-in-law. Zok the Gemara, the Chalav, the Dar in the Chalav Loi. You're only bothered if they live there, not if they come as guests. V'ahu the Chalav Ababa the Bechamu, v'nagdei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes gave a guy, a son-in-law, Malkus, for coming to his mother-in-law's house for a visit. Zok the Gemara, who made them have a die in Mechamasa. There was a rumor going around that him and his mother-in-law were playing hanky-panky. That kind of a son-in-law shouldn't visit his mother-in-law. But a regular son-in-law could visit his mother-in-law, except we don't want him living there. We're afraid. The Gemara, I think, in Kedushin explains this is only by the first son-in-law. It's only by Chasn Harishin. The first son-in-law of a woman is we're afraid there might be a relationship. I think the later sons-in-law this doesn't apply to. I think that's what the Gemara says in Kedushin.
I would have said...
Yes.
Well, it depends if
his wife was with him. Doesn't say that. Again, I don't know. I don't remember the Gemara in Kedushin. It says on the side, it's on the Testament Aleph. I don't remember. Rashi. Zog to Rashi, the Mispaker Lashon Chutzpah. Shemei is pun of Lahasters and Shliach Bezin. He has the audacity to fight with the Shliach Bezin. Made them Abedam Chamsimine, Chashudois Chamaitimimenu. His mother-in-law was Chashid from him. Weiter. Zakti Gemar Ikadi Amri, I'm sorry. Amri Nador Amri. In Nador they had a different version. They said the Kululoi Mangadrav. It's not true. Rav did not give Malkus for that previous list. We listed a whole list here that Rav used to give people Malkus rabbinically. In Nador they said Rav only did it for two things. Only for Lamakadish Mabiyo Ubaloi Shaduchi. The guy that did Kedushin with Bia without Shidduchim, one thing, meaning a combination of two. He lived with a woman, I think it's combination of two. What does he say? Either or both? What does Archko say? What? Right, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. It's clear. He did both. He lived with a woman, was Mekadesh with Bia, didn't even get engaged. So the combination of doing Kedushe Bia without engagement, that Rav gave Malkus for. The rest of the list he didn't give Malkus for. Yekedi Amri, Avilu b'shiduchi nami b'shem pritzusa. Some say, Mekadesh b'biya got Malkus, whether he had shiduchim or didn't have shiduchim, Rav did not like Kedushe Bia. So according to this Nardor version, all the other people did not get Malkus. Right? The first version had a whole list of people Rav used to give Malkus to. Second version limited to somebody that's Mekadesh b'biya. Either with or without shiduchim, depending on which lashon you learn. Rashi? No Rashi. Something about it. Okay? Tana Rabbana. New sugya. Not a new sugya completely, but a new beginning. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Kate says Mimer. How does Mimer work? What is Mimer? What do you do for Mimer? Nasla Kesef and Shabba Kesef. You gave her money or something worth money, and you did kedushin. Same thing as kedushin. Zok Rashi, nothing like kesef or shavah kesef. V'yamar lo hiskatchi li b'maimer yevamin. That's the word you use. Be mekadeshes to me with maimer of yibum. Av agav diyov lo bidi. Even though he's paying her money, giving her something. Lav kedushin gemurim hein. This is not complete kedushin kedushi tayra. Sharein kedushin types in beishasach. There's no marrying of one brother's wife. Ella, the Torah didn't say treat her like a woman that's not related to you. Meaning the Torah didn't say, okay, you're allowed to marry your brother's wife since he died without children. Now you can go ahead and marry her the way you would marry any woman. No. She's your brother's wife. There is no institution of marriage. There's only one way to do this, and that's Yibum. Ella, Kaseidra Mitzvah, Ubihu, the customer Rachmana, and the Torah only allowed to be a. Now, rabbinically, they made Mimer. Biblically, there's no other avenue. You want to marry her? Bia, only. Rabbanan instituted Mimer. So Mimer is a rabbinic thing. So you say, Harat Mukadeshasli, but Mimer Yuvaman. I am marrying you as a Mimer of Yibam. This is not regular Kedushin. This is rabbinic Mimer. What? No, there's no mimer for Bia. No. B is evil. There's no mimer for Bia. Meaning, there's no mimer. No Bia for mimer. Right. Whatever you want to word it.
We say ketzef means like
a ring. We use a ring kabbalistically. Shava bruta. But we use it, you can use anything. You can use a tomato. There's no ring is a Kabbalistic thing. Since Kal Yisrael was Makabal to use Kedushin ring. Right. And it can't have a stone in it. Kedushin ring cannot have a stone. Because once it has a stone, she thinks it's worth X, and it might not be worth X. It might be a fake ring for all you know. You don't know. Whereas if it doesn't have a stone, she realizes that it might be a cheap ring. Right. The Masada Kedushin tells her, you understand this might only be worth a pruta. And she shakes her head yes, as if she knows what he's talking about. I mean, she better know what he's talking about.
Am I correct?
Yes.
I was under the impression that he inherits his brother, I don't know at what point, so everything that he continues his brother's ksuva. So let's say she had a ring before.
Ksuva is a separate thing completely. What does ksuba have to do with anything? Ksuba is financial obligations.
Because she can't collect the ksuba yet.
Till he does yibum or chalit. Till he does chalit, correct.
Right, so let's say he wants to do yibum, so all the brother's money goes to this yavam.
100%, so therefore what?
Therefore, let's say she keeps the ring that she got from the first husband. Would that be good enough?
He doesn't have to do mimer. He can do B right away. He doesn't have to give her a thing. Again, biblically speaking, Reuben died, no children, left over a wife. Shimon lives with her. It's his wife without giving her a penny. Doesn't have to give her one penny.
First thing is first.
But if it comes to mimer, he has to give her something out of his pocket?
Correct. That's a rabbinic institution called mimer. And mimer means you go through the motions of a kedushin, but it works rabbinically. And he gives her, he doesn't have to give a ring, he can give her a tomato.
So if it's just a simple promise without anything given, this is not mimer, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank
correct.
You.
Mimer follows kedushin except it's rabbinic. Correct. Has nothing to do with ksuba. Ksuba is an obligation and monetary to take care of this woman. Has nothing to do with that. We're talking about the act of mimer. The act of mimer is a rabbinic act of kedushin. Mimics kedushin, exactly.
No.
Everybody have a wonderful day. Well, Kemir Hashem continues.